Perek Dalet Pasek Yud Ches. Perek Dalet Pasek Yud Ches. Nishtevona di Shelachtun Alena. Mifarash Keri Kodomoy. The king Koresh is responding to the letter that has been sent to him by the Tsore Yehudu Binyamin. We know we are in the middle of this period of time where Bnei Yisrael have returned. 42,360 Jews have returned to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with the permission of Koresh. It's the time of Pekida. It's now been exactly 70 years since the time of the Golus of Yehoyakim. It's now been 70 years. Hashem is 70 years l'malus to fulfill a token fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyah l'malus l'charos Yerushalayim shiv mishan. It's been 70 years since the first of the three major exiles of Yehoyakim. And now Koresh has granted permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They have returned, 42,360. They start building, and suddenly there are a whole list of nations. The Psukim listed enumerated 9 specific nations, plus the general region of Che'enes, and we have different names of Rechum and Shimshai, and so on and so forth. And they write a letter of accusation to King Koresh that the Jews are rebelling. Why are they rebelling? Not only are they building the Beis HaMikdash, they're building the city. They're rebuilding the city and they plan on not paying taxes. So the letter was sent. In Pasuk Yizayin, we concluded the letter. In Pasuk Yizayin told us the beginning of the response of Koresh. I have received your letter. And now Pasuk Yitches continues with his response. Nishtevona, the letter, di shelachtun aleno, which you have sent up to me, miforash, has been explained, keri, has been read kodomoi. Now this that it says here, the word nishtevona, we have to take note that it does not say the ksav hanishtevon. Go back in previous psukim. It says the word, it doesn't just say the word nishtevona, which means the letter, it means the text of the letter. If I could find the pasuk, I'm not sure I could find it so quickly. I should have prepared more. But we have other places this expression of the ksav nishtevona, the actual text of the letter. Here the word ksav is missing. And being that it's missing,
we had it in Pasuk Zion.
Pasuk Zion, okay, let's go back to Pasuk Zion. Umeyar Tach Shasta, Kosa Bishlam Misridos to Tavel Shorchin of Osov. Al Artach Shasta Milchras Uchasov Hari Nishtavon. Excellent, thank you very much. So the question is, why in Pasuk Zion is the letter written, the text of the letter? Nishtavon is the letter, Ksav means the text, and here in Pasuk Yud Ches, the word Kisav is mysteriously absent. So the Malbim enters and wants to suggest that this is all part of the grand scheme, the cleverness of Rechum and Shimshai. They knew that Koresh did not know Aramaic. He only knew Persian. And they purposely wrote to him a letter in language that he would not understand, so that it would have to be translated. And as we all know, much detail gets lost in translation, and you always assume it's a psychological technique. You assume it's a lot worse than it really is. If you actually know, you read, people spread rumors. If you hear something happens, they tell you, oh, the whole world came to an end. And then when you go and you look and you read the news, the details, it's not so bad. The world's still going on. So they purposely wrote to him a letter in Aramaic, and that's why in Pasuk Zion it says the Ksav Hanishtavon. I mean, that's where we have Ksav Hanishtavon. But here, when it says that I have received the letter, he does not say I actually read the Ksav. I only read the essence of the letter because it was translated before me, and that's why it says here these two words Mifarash. It was explained. He did not know what it said. He was not familiar with this script and with this text. It had to be explained, keri, and read. As they read this foreign language, they translated it and they explained it. And we can assume the translator was not exactly a big Oyhev Yisrael. And we could assume that Koresh was probably paranoid, as were most emperors and kings and leaders of the ancient world. And he right away assumed that the Jews are rebelling. So that's what a very interesting idea, Nishtivana, the letter, the Shlachtun Alena, which you have sent in front of me, Mifarash, has been explained. I don't know what it says. Someone had to translate it. And Keri has been read Kodomoy before me. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Nishtivana, Ksav HaNishtivana, Sheshlachtun. So we hear Rashi adds in the Ksaf, even though it's not saying Nishtavana, the Malbim is just elaborating. The Malbim is a little bit of a drush. Rashi adds in that word Ksaf HaNishtavan. But the Malbim again takes note that it is absent. Okay, Pasuk Yutes. Umini Se'im Te'im. And before me I have issued a decree. Te'im means a decree. Te'im literally means a reason. And in the broader picture of the thing, the broader context, it means I want to understand something, so therefore I ask my advisors to do things in order to bring out a greater understanding of the matter. For me, it was issued to aim a command, and they made a thorough investigation. And it was discovered that everything that you said about the Jewish people is correct. D Kiryasadoch. Kiryasa means city, Doch means this city, min Yomos Olma, from time immemorial, all the way back, ancient times, Al Mal Chin Mis Nas'a, have risen upon other kings, have dominated. They are manipulators. They are very powerful people, the Jewish people. They have risen, they have raised above other kings. Umirad, rebellion, is a lie, and rebellion. The Ishtadur, insurrection, Misaved Ba, has been done. They have engaged in rebellion and insurrection, and they're evil people. The Jewish people indeed are evil people. Let's see the Rashi Pasuk Yitches very quickly. Rashi Pasuk Yitches. Simtein umi'iti hoysa simas dovar tzivui asher tziveisi. I issued a command. They made an investigation and discovered Vodku b'sefer ha-zichronos ha-milochim, and they inspected the chronicles u'matzu kosov ha-shahir ha-zois mimos ha-oilam ha-isa mis-na-seis u-mis-roi-nenes al-kol malchi akum, elevated themselves, have risen up above all the other nations of the world. U-morad, rebellion. What is rebellion? V'sarvonus, insurrection, refusal, the seruf, refuse. Bez issues a hazman in Torah and you don't come, it's called a seruf, and they're a refusal to show up. The sarvanus limroid b'malch akum, to rebel against the nation, the kings of the world. Okay, let's go to pasuk kaf. Malchin takifin havo al Yerushalayim, and throughout history there have been mighty kings that have presided over the authority of Yerushalayim. He's referring specifically to Shlomo HaMelech. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, he ruled the entire world. He was a takif. Kings that were takifin havay al Yerushalayim, they took the throne up in Yerushalayim and they controlled Yerushalayim. The shalitim, they did not just control Yerushalayim, they had rule. Their rule extended b'chol avar nahara, and the entire side of the river, everything to the west of the Euphrates. Koresh on the east of the Euphrates is describing what took place on the other side of the Euphrates, this entire region. And indeed, you're correct. Umido uveloy v'halach misyehev lahon, and taxes were paid to them. Three different types of tax. We discussed this: the land tax, head tax, and poll tax. When you go and travel on the bridges and the roads, you have to pay polls. But what? Tolls, I'm sorry, when I say poll, tolls. What am I saying? I also have an easy pass, don't worry. I also get nice bills, my easy pass. But umidah v'lov halach misyev lahon, three different types of tax were paid to them. The land tax, the head tax, and the tolls were given lahon to the Jewish people. Let's see pasuk chaf in the Rashi. Malchim tekefin umulachim tchazak mo yibushalim shayim moshtim ushaltinim b'chol yom b'chol eva hanar shaltzad eretz yishol k'mosh nemar b'shlomo. So Rashi focuses specifically on Shlomo HaMelech, ki hu roide b'chol avar hanar, period. Eva hanar, b'chol eva hanar. So it says b'ferish about Shlomo, b'ferish the same expression, the Eiver Hanar. So we know from Sefer Ezra, Eiver Hanar refers specifically to the west side of the Euphrates. Pasek Chof. I'm not going to do the mitzvah because most of this is repetition, so I'm just going to try to be mekatzel. We'll just do the major rashes, at least for today. Pasuk of Aleph. Now Koresh says that now Ka'an means now. Simu ishu, to aim a decree. Livat Allah guvraya ilech. So now comes the very harsh decree. I want you to issue a decree to stop, put an end to Guvrayo Ilech, these people, the Jewish people that I have granted permission, the 42,360, I want you to tell, put an end to the construction. The Kiryasod Doch, this city, Los Sispene should not be built, Admini Ta'ama Yitzam, until from, I give, Yitzam means to set, Ta'ama means a new decree has been, Mini has come from me, until I change my mind. Which basically means, it's a political. He's a real politician. Like, we'll put a stay. I'm not telling you no. I'm not saying no. Let's wait. Let's stall. This is right out of the playbook of Allah. This is politics 101. You never say no. You say, we'll look into it. We'll look into it. We'll consider your request. What? We'll appoint a commission to look into this. He was the quintessential politician.
But I thought a Melech can never change.
Exactly. So look what he says here. The Kiryasodoch, the city. He says the city should not be built. He didn't say anything about the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, he gave permission. We go back to the beginning of the parak when he gave permission. The permission was to go back and rebuild the Mehechel, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And what did they say? They say they're rebelling. Not only are they building the Beis HaMikdash, they're building the city and the main walls. They're rebelling. So he says the city should be, the construction of the city should come to an end. So when they'll say, but the Mikdash is not part of the city, who are you to say the Mikdash is not part of the city? It's all one big construction project. It's all part of the same budget, the same plan. And once you can't build, once we shut down the construction company that's providing assistance for the wall of the city, so there's no construction company to assist in the building of the Mishkan. It was a very clever technique in order to bypass all of the laws that have been passed. It's all just beating the system. They knew very cleverly how to beat the system. Plus, as the Malam enhances, everything was done through translation. Everything was purposely done. He said in one language, another language, and there were layers of translators. And as you can imagine, as you translate, you play what's it called? You play a telephone. You ever play telephone with children? You say some very difficult word, and you hear what comes out the other end. That's exactly what they were doing. Translation, also in Persian, in Aramaic, back and forth, and before you turn around. Never had no more construction. The Kiryasodach, the city, Lord says, "May Almini until from me, Tama Yitzam until from me comes a new issue, a new law, a new permission that will allow you to rebuild the base to continue." Let's see the Rashi pasuk of Aleph Ka'an now. Simu to aim at, the word Ka'an means now. Rashi over here, this took very much, very unusual. He's translating the Aramaic. Notice that it's different. Normally, Rashi, you know, in Nach is very midrashic. For some reason, over here, Rashi throws a little here and there. Like he says, Shlomo HaMelech. There's a lot of chidush. We read very carefully what Rashi says. Ksav HaNishtalah. And he says, Ksav. He read very carefully what Rashi says. He's saying chidushim, but primarily Rashi seems to be doing a lot of translation of the Aramaic, which is something very unusual for Rashi to do. But that's what it says here. Ka'an simutim ata now. Simu dovar. Issue a decree. Lahachris to announce Ba'aretz. Levatel anoshim halolu b'nei Yisrael min habinyin. V'ir azos Yerushalayim. Lo tivna. Should not be built. Ad asher mimeni yusam hadavar. Until I issue new command. Livno so'ir al dati. Urishusi. Through my knowledge and my permission. Pasik chav beis. Uzihirin havo. Now, not only did he tell them that the issue of decree that it should not be done, he told them, make sure you do it. He warned them, be very careful. Uzihirin havo, you shall be careful. What?
Take heed.
Shalu lemevat. Shalu is an unusual word which means to put an end. Okay, it means levatel. Okay, shalu, that's not a common word. To put an end, shalu to lemevat. Lemevat means to set. Shalu, an end. It shall come to an end, al dina, this matter, the matter of the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the building of Yerushalayim, because lema yiskei chavolah. Why shall the damage grow great? Yiske means to become great and mighty. The chavala, the harm of the malchus lehaznokas, malchin is a poetic expression. Lehaznokas obviously means nezek, malchin is plural. Not just of me, there are other kings in the region. I don't want them, I don't want the they should make rebellion against any king, anyone in the region, whether those kings are subordinate to Quraysh or there were other kings that were not subordinate. I don't want there to be any unrest in the Middle East. I want everything to be peaceful, and therefore, why shall the damage to expression chavalah lehaznokas malchim will be harm, which will cause damage to the kings? It will grow great if we allow this insurrection to continue. Let's see Rashi pasuk habeis uzehirin havos shalu uzehirin tehiyu lasos dichui ushkaga. So the way Rashi translates the word shalu, he has here an old French word which I do not know what this means. The old de shatur vir balas, okay, an old French word which Rashi in Hebrew is translating as dichui ushkaga. Dichui means a halt, push to the side. I think some of us are more explicit. If you look over here, you look in the Metzudah Sion, Shalu Mishka Ushka. God means in an error. The Chain Al Hashal, and in the context of an error, it shouldn't, there should not be any. Let's see if we have the Metzudah David. Lama Yishke, the Metzudah David in Pasuk, we have the Pasuk of Beis. So what is Zahir? Zahir and Havu, Havi Zirin Bilasosh. Milaaso shkoga alzo. So I told you batol. That's another translation. Okay. Shalu. Okay. I have here another translation which says shkoga. I have here a targum which other mafarshim translate means simu. Bittle, but that's not the way the Ratargum is trained. That's not the way the Mitzudos and Rashi. They touch a little bit. Look at the Mitzudos. Havu zehirin mila asoy shkoga alzos rotzolaymar al tishku. Do not make a mistake. Lavor mitzvos sai bishkoga, to transgress my words by error. Yeah.
Remove.
Dispose of. So same as shal nalach, sitting over here is, so that would mean lebatel. Make sure, if we take those words literally, it would mean havo shalu. So that's already a more of a complex translation. If you word learned shalu means to dispose. Shal nalecha mi'al raglecha. Then it's a command. Uzehirin havo, be careful. Shalu lemevad, disposal there shall be. Now, in the context of disposal, if you'll translate the word shal nelech, remove, it means make sure, in this greater context, it shall come to an end. They, the Jewish people, shall be removed from what they are doing. They are engaging in building a mishkan and mikdash, building a city. They shall stop, desist, cease and desist. But that's not the way it seems that Rashi and the Mitzudos are translating. They're translating this in a much more complex form. Uzrin havo shalu lemevat. Don't make a mistake. Don't inadvertently let them take advantage of you. Don't let them outsmart you. Don't let the Jews, they're cunning and clever, don't let them manipulate you and outsmart you, and then when all of a sudden you'll turn around and you'll see, wow, look at that, they built a whole city, they built the Beis HaMikdash, they built a city. It was an accident. We had no intent that this should happen. They outsmarted us. We were taken advantage of. It was an accident that we allowed this to happen. So that's seemingly how they want to translate these words, shalu lashon of shkaga. Don't let it come about that they will manipulate you and outsmart you, and then you will come and you'll tell me it was an accident. We really never wanted it to happen. It's just that's how things came about. This appears to be the translation of the Mitzudos and of Rashi. So back to Rashi.
This is affecting the Jews in
Eretz Yisrael. Yes.
What about all the Jews all over the world? Because this way we're now moving into this monopoly.
Right.
So this is how it's affecting the Mikdal was sent to all the Medinas, right?
Not necessarily, no. The Mikdal was sent to the people that controlled the region. It was sent specifically to the people of Kehenes. Shalom and Uch'es, the people of that region, only of Yerushalayim. This was not direct to the Jews across the world. It was directed specifically concerning the 42,360 Jews living in Yerushalayim that are currently rebuilding Yerushalayim and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. The people.
Well, not that much later.
No, the miracle of Purim came going a few years later.
Now it's starting.
Right.
He says these people are no good.
Stop the construction, right? And who are the main people? So many learned that these are the Daseres B'nai Haman. The main instigators that sent this sitna, this letter of accusation to Koresh to put an end to the construction, were the children of Haman. And that's why after the Purim story they were killed. That's why there was no longer anyone making trouble. And that's why they were permitted to continue. That's what we're going to see very soon in the next parak. Okay, let's continue the Rashi. One more time, the Rashi will be Lemevet Al-Dinah. Let's finish the Rashi. Pasuk HaBeis, Lemevet Al-Dinah. Lassos Al-Kach, Loma Yishke, Madua Yigdal, Maase Hashchos Abir Hazos. Why should it grow great, this act of destruction, act of rebellion in this city, Lahazik Hamalachim, to cause injury to the kings Al-Kain, Adkan Teshuvas Koresh Asher Heshev. So Rashi says, Pasuk Chavbeis is the end of the response, the letter of Koresh's response to the people living Shalom and Ches, starting from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin through Pasuk Chavbeis concludes the letter that was sent by Koresh to Shalom and Ches, which we learned, which means from A to Z, all the people in the region telling the Jewish people that you write, telling the people that we've read your letter, we made an investigation. The Jewish people traditionally have been rebellious, and they have controlled and dominated the region. We don't want this to happen. We made a mistake. We don't want the city to be rebuilt. Period.
Is it possible that the king didn't necessarily believe any of that, but he didn't want trouble?
Public pressure. Politics. He wasn't going to be voted in his next term, as if he had to be voted in.
No, but he had all these provinces in the neighboring Israel that were...
Could be. If that was all part of the technique. If they sent a letter representing the entire region, so many names were signed to it. There were nine nations, nine different mini-states, nine mini-states that signed on to this. But they represented the whole Eiver HaNar and even further up north, the land of Canaan, and they're telling this to Koresh. He's scared. They're going to come for me soon. They're going to rebel against me. They're going to conquer the world. They're going to come for me. What do I need this for? Who needs this? But how could that be only 3 years ago? Did Koresh say that they read what Yeshaya, 200 years ago, Yeshaya predicted? I shouldn't even mention him by name. That you're my Mashichi, you're my anointed one. And who Yivne Bayis Lashmi? And he was so generous, and he sent the Jews back, and he took out the Caleb from the Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave them to Daniel, Sheshbatzar, returned to Eretz Yisrael, rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, a turn of heart in 3 years. What happened? How did he go? Mikotze la kotze. So it's not clear. There is a Ramban. Okay, the article, he quotes this Ramban, the beautiful Ramban in Perek Chavav, Pasik Aleph, where the Ramban says, Mais avo simil labanim. This is everything that's happening during this Kufa is all hidden in the beginning of in Bereish. Parashas told us in Perek Chavav, where we have here a famine. Let me just read you the basic no chidush just to the psukim. Vayehi rahav ba'aretz. Milvar harav rishon shayim be'avraham. Vayelech Yitzchak. Yitzchak goes to where? El Avi Melech, Melech Pelishtim Gerora. He goes to Pelishtim. He goes down to Avi Melech. What happens? And then Avi Melech takes his wife. He returns his wife. And then Avi Melech says to him, you can do whatever you want. I want you to stay here. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi vayimtza bashana ahi meyosh she'orim vayivarecheu Hashem. So here we have Maisa avos simon labanim. Yitzchak over here comes to Avimelech. Avimelech says, welcome, you can stay here. And he gives you a command. I'll read that pasuk again. I just read it too quickly. Vayitzav. This is in Bereishis. Vayitzav Avimelech es kol ha'om lemor hanogea bo ish hazeh uve ishto mos yumos. That, Aramban says, parallels what Koresh said the Jewish people. I'm letting them return to Eretz Yisrael. Don't start up with them. Let them rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. If you start up with them, I'll kill you. I'm in charge. And then what happens? They start to build. They begin success. We're going to see over here. We're going to see over here what's going to do. They've been successful. They build. They're successful. The Jewish people in a short period of time. I'm not in any pasuk. I'm reading from Horatius. I'm not in any pasuk. So they're successful. And they start, look, this is the critical, V'chol ha-be'erois, asher chafru avdei aviv, b'mei avraham aviv, sitmu polishin, v'yimalu mafar. And he opens up the wells. V'chol asher chafru avdei aviv, b'mei avraham aviv, they get jealous, v'yoshav Yitzchak, v'yachbar esperos ha-maim, asher chafru b'mei avraham aviv. Vayisadun polishim achori mois Avraham, vayikro lohen shemos kashemos shekor lohen aviv. Yitzchak opens up the wells that have been sealed by the enemies of his predecessors. Who were the predecessors of the Goyla? The people who came up? The people who lived there during the time of the Bayis Rishon. They had the Be'eros, the wells. The wells referred to the place of Shechina. Bisham Shayavim Ruach HaKodesh. And what has happened? Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and that in the more symbolic interpretation means he has closed, he has stuffed up the wells. And now the Goyla has returned, have opened the wells. They have restored the Beis HaMikdash, they're restoring the Shechina, they have the Mizbech, they're bringing Korbanos. And all of this is done with the permission of Avimelech. Who is Avimelech in modern times? The musical chair theorem. Who is Avimelech? Now it is Koresh. And what happens? They get very jealous. They get very, very jealous, and they complain bitterly to Avimelech. And he says to him, "Vayarivu roei grorim or Yitzchak." They quarrel. Okay, then we go, and he tells him, "Lech meimanu." He tells him, "Get lost." He tells him to get lost because you are too successful. Wait, where is that pasuk? Lech meimanu ki atzamto mimenu ma'oid. Vayomer Avimelech el Yitzchak, lech meimanu ki atzamto mimenu ma'oid. They can't take it. They cannot witness the success and the rebuilding and the process of undoing the wells of Avram Avinu, and therefore he says, out, get out of here. But what that's exactly what's happening over here, even though permission was granted, and they began the process of restoring what used to be the glorious old days, they get jealous, and they put an end, Lech meimanu ki yotzamta mimenu me'od. But ultimately, as we're going to have now, 18 years later, the grandchild of Koresh, Dar, Yovesh, Ben, Esther will once again grant permission for them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's Merumis, where years later, V'Avimelech holach elov migror v'achuzas mer'ehu fichos ha'atzva'o. And then he says, V'yemalem Yitzchak, madu bosmeh lovi atem snesmos yivata shalchuni meitchem. V'yem ro'oridu ki hoya shamimach. V'anoimer, you know what, let's make peace. We change our mind. Tino olo beinoseinu beninu v'necha. V'necher savris imach im ta'aseh manu ro'ah. They make a treaty. They make a mishteh. And v'yashkir v'og v'yishavu ish t'yachi v'yishalchem Yitzchak v'yelchum eito b'shalom. Ultimately, Avimelech changes his mind and says, let's make a bris ha'avcharata, that I was so mean to you, I told you to leave, let's make peace. And that's what will ultimately happen later, a number of years later, 14 years later, Daryovesh ben Esther Hamodai, the grandson of Koresh, will make peace with the Jewish people, and will allow them once again to resume the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban says, everything that we're learning over here in Ezra Perek Daled and going into Perek Hey is all merumas, maise ovo simin labonim, in the story with Yitzchak and Avimelech. Yitzchak comes to Gror, he settles, and they're very kind to him, they're good to him, and he gives a command, no one should start up with this person. Then they rescind their generosity and they tell them to leave, but ultimately they come back and they make peace. Same exact thing over here. Koresh says to Jewish people, go, I'm giving you permission, we build a Beis HaMikdash, and then they get jealous and then they put an end to it. But ultimately 14 years later they're going to have Charata, they're going to once again allow the Jewish people to rebuild, resume the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that now we come to Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Now Chav Dalet, sorry, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Adayin den min di parshegin nishtavona di. Now, so now he sent the letter. And now the letter has arrived. Pasuk Chav Gimel. The letter has arrived in Yerushalayim to the people Adayin then.
One minute.
Pasuk Chav Gimel. Edayin mindi when parshegen nishtavana, the text of the letter. So here we have another where we have parsh. Sometimes we have ksav nishtavana, we have just nishtavana, and now we have parshegen nishtavana. Three different ways of describing the same thing. Parshegen means the ksav. It's an Aramaic word for the text. The text of the letter. Now why over here is it written parshegen and before was it written the ksav and sometimes just written nishtavana? I do not know. There must be significance. It appears that when you send something to the king, it's called the ksav. And when the king reads it, he just reads the essence, the nishtavana. And when he responds, it's a royal decree. It's called the parshegen nishtavana. It appears the word parshegen is used when the letter, nishtavana, means a letter. A letter. So I send the letter, you send the letter. But when the letter is sent by the king, then it's called the parshegen. It has more of a chashivas to it. Much nicer stationery. Much more expensive. It's a watermark. Has the emblem of the king. See, today it's nobody that you can forge. You can make any stationery you want. In the olden days, you just couldn't print the letterhead. Yeah, the whole thing. So that would have to be called the parshegen. When the people said, "Let," they said the ksav nishtavana. But now it was adayin min di parshegen nishtavana di from artach shasta malka. When the text of the letter that from artach shasta malka the king carry was read, kadam before rechum v'shimshai sofra rechum. And Shimshai the Safra, Ruchum was the Baal Tam, he was the counselor. And Shimshai was the scribe, Uchid Novos Hoin, and their companions, they were thrilled. It was a dream come true. They won the lottery. So what did they do? They wasted no time. Azalu, they went, Bivhilu, with haste. Bibahalan, in a state of confusion. By Afhilu es Haman, in a state of haste, they were still wearing their pajamas. They did not even go in a refined manner. They just went, whatever they were wearing. They were wearing their pajamas, whatever they looked like, they didn't take a shave, they just went. Bivhilu li Yerushalayim al Yehudaye, to the Jews, uvatilu himo, and they put an end, bittel. So interesting, before it said the word shalu. Shalu doesn't mean an error. Over here, we have a much stronger word. They were so batilu. They forceful end. Himo, them. Himo means them. They put an end to their plans with it means osam, be'edra. V'choyil. Edra means force and power. Two different expressions. I'm not exactly sure the difference. Two different expressions. Let's go over here in Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel. Edayin, of course, means oz. We only have that word 100 times. Dipar Shegin. Min Pisron Ksav. From the interpretation of the Ksav Hanishtavan. From the interpretation. Now, the Rashi over here seems to be alluding to the fact that why was it read in front of them? Weren't they smart enough to read it themselves? These are very brilliant people. Rechum and Shimshai Safra. Why does it say that it was read before them? It sounds like they're in pre-1A and someone had to read the letter for them. They could not read the letter.
What it means?
So it could very well be that the Malm says this is that the king, his scribes, wrote in Persian. And they did not know Persian. They only knew Aramaic. So it had to be translated. So there are so many layers of translation. You could imagine this is like a telephone. This is a... this is a game here. They're sending it in Aramaic. It's being translated to the king. So there's some nuances being lost in translation. The king responds in Persian. And then they send it back, and it's translated from Persian into Aramaic to hear exactly what the king had to say. So we can imagine, we can be certain that the response is not exactly what the king had in mind.
Was there any specific reason why he sent them back in Persian? Because he easily could have had his...
That was also, maybe he was in on the deal. He was also a politician. He's also... I don't know exactly. I don't know why. Maybe that was the rule. They're like, they don't bother us. When we send out decrees, we do it, you know, like they have all these colleges, Ivy League colleges, when they bestow doctorates, they read in Latin, and their emblem and their symbols are still all in Latin. What? Official document, it's like symbolic. You speak Latin, you speak the old mother language, even though no one... No one knows one word what it means. It's tradition. You wear these, like you ever go to these graduations, they wear these gowns, these men wear skirts from Oxford and from all different. I went to a Harvard graduation once and I was just baffled by the costumes that, because a lot of the Harvard professors are not from Harvard. They're from Oxford, they're from all over the world. They attract the best. What? All over the world. And the minute, I don't know this, the minute is that when you call, you wear, you don't wear the school where you got your degree from. Where you got smicha, exactly. So one thing, you go Brooklyn College, so you know Brooklyn College, so everyone, most professors, how many Ivy League professors do you have? Everyone got their degree from Brooklyn, from City University, from State University, from, you know, from the Hamisha Olam. But when you go to somewhere like Harvard, there you have from all over the world. And when it comes time to the commencement exercises, everyone has to wear the big Lishmoina. You have to wear the big Malchus. And you wear the weird you got, and wow, you have to see some of these costumes. It's very impressive.
Colorful.
Very, very colorful, very. It's kedai to see. Kedai to go l'havchin. And what is saying Chazaf? You can go and you can see cover the melech. You should go to, so one day you'll be able to havchin between the cover they'll give the melech HaMashiach and the cover they give the melech, malach, and the melech of the Umans. There's something to be said about seeing. To be seeing all their customs. But the point over here is that this was an official document, and that's why it says Parshegin, does not say Ksav, does not say Nishtavana, and it was written in Lashon Paras, Parsi, and it was not known to the people who, even these very wise men of Shimshai and Rechum, and it had to be translated, and that's why it says here in the Pasuk that it was Keri Kodom, it was read in front of them. And what did it say? Let's see again the Rashi. Rashi is Min Pisroin, the interpretation. That's why Rashi is Pisroin, the interpretation. It was written in some sophisticated code that had to be deciphered, had to be interpreted. The Pisroin, the interpretation, Ksavan Shel Artach Sasto Hamelech, who Koresh Artach Sasto, we know from the beginning of the parak is Koresh, Hoy Hamaisa Hazer, Keri Kodam Sheik Saf, Hanishavan, Kori Lufanov, Kori Lufne Ruchum Vishimshai, Visiosem, the Holk, when they ran Bimirutsa, they ran with haste, Uvivahola, and confusion, Lirushalayim, El Hayhudim, Ubatlu Oisam Bezroya, the Koyach, Shalivnois, Oir Habinyin, no more shall you build the Beis Hamigdash. Al Yehudoye, referring El Hayhudi, Al in Aramaic always means El, not upon, but to, Haim. Homu means hame. Pasuk of Dal, one more pasuk finish the perek. They die in vain. They succeeded. Betelas avidas beis eloka di Yerushalayim, it was bottle. It ceased the service, the building of the beis eloka, the beis hamidash di Yerushalayim b'havas bitla bottle. It was bottle. It was. It came to an end. At shnas tartein lemalchus dor yovesh melech paras. It came to an end for 14 years. For 14 years, this appears to have been. This took place, I believe, in the third year of Koresh. Okay, we'll come to the dates at a later point in time. I don't remember the exact dates. Achashverosh was king for 11 years. So that already makes it 14 years. So 11 plus 3 is 14. And then in the second year, There's a little bit because they were partial years, so it's not the first year of Daryavesh, it was the second year. It could be that they overlap. The 11 years, the first year of Achashverosh, overlaps with the third year of Koresh. So and then we have 2 years, or maybe the first year, or could be maybe the first year of Daryavesh overlaps with the 11th year of Achashverosh. I'm not exactly sure, but there's 1 year of overlap, and that's why in the second year of Daryavesh, the son of Achashverosh, that's when permission was once again granted to restore the building of the Beis Hamikdash, to restore the binyan. Why? Because that would have been 18 years since the original Pekida. Permission was granted in the first year of Koresh, and then it took 18 years later, then 3 years later it was halted, and then finally it was resumed 14 years later. For a grand total of 18 years, you have to figure out the overlap, because 14 and 3 don't exactly add up to 18, so you have to figure out how all the overlap, how all the numbers work out, which will work out at some point in time. And it was 18 years later when Daryavesh gave permission for the building to be concluded, because that would then be exactly 70 years from the third of the Golos of Tzidkiyahu, which was the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash. There were three different stages of exile: the Golos of Yehoyakim, the Golos of Yehoyachin, and the Golos of Tzidkiyahu. The Pekida was from the time the permission was granted to return to Eretz Yisrael was 70 years from the Golos of Yehoyakim, and that was 18 years before the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash. And 18 years later was when Daryavesh gave permission for the Beis HaMikdash to the construction to be resumed, because that would now be exactly 70 years from the Golos of Yeh of Tzidkiyahu, because there are many layers in the Nevuah, the fulfillment of the prophecy of 70 years. That's the very big Yisrael prophecy. It's not just one interpretation. Prophecy has many layers of interpretation and many different fulfillments of that prophecy. Okay, let's see Rashi, and we'll stop Rashi. And then, Oz Chaysa B'Teil Malchus, this is very important Rashi. Rashi goes through some of the numbers. Oz then. Also, it's the betel mal molachas pini beis hamikdash. Look, ma shebi yushlaim at shnas shtaim l'daryavesh mel paras sha'achar koresh. Who is Daryavesh? Daryavesh was the son of Koresh. I'm reading the Rashi pasuk of Dalit. L'daryavesh mel paras sha'achar koresh melach achashverosh shelokach Esther. Who is Achashverosh? He's the one that took Esther as a wife. The Purim story. The achar achashverosh. After Achashverosh died, he ruled for 11 years. Molach Daryavesh bino shel achashverosh. Rashi is not in Rashi with no explanation, says Shu ben Esther, who was the son of Esther. Does that mean it was Esther's biological son? It's a very big mystery. There's no way to know. Different opinions. Some say yes, some say not. Others say it would be her foster child. If it was really Esther's son, that would mean that he was between 6, it's not clear, between 6 and 10 years old. Can a person between 6 and 10 years old be given such power to rule the world? Maybe yes, maybe no. Those others say no, Daryavesh, this was not necessarily her biological son, it was her foster child. He had from another wife, and Esther had an influence, and therefore she's called Ben Esther, but he was much older than 6 or 10 years old. From the first year of Koresh until the second year of Daryavesh, the grandson, by the way, was Achashverosh the son of Koresh? It's another very big mystery. Some say Achashverosh was the biological son of Koresh, and some say he was not. He was also someone raised in the home. He was not the real thing, but he somehow was able to assert power for himself. Now would be exactly 70 years. From the time of the Golos of Tzidkiyahu until Koresh became king, until the fall of Nebuchadnezzar and the fall, not Nebuchadnezzar, the fall of Nebuchadnezzar and El Meroidach and Belshazzar, and the fall of Achashverosh HaModai. It was Chamisha Mushtayim Shana, 52 years, Kimforosh Beseder Olam. Seder Olam is a medrash, a historical medrash. Then we have 18 more years, the Yud Hashana Mishnas Aleph Lekoresh at Shnas Shtayim Ledayavish. Now we go fast forward 18 years from the first year of Koresh until the second year of Dayavish. And during those 18 years, immediately he gave permission for the Jews to return. And now 3 years later is what we just learned, where he canceled his permission, and now we go forward until the time of Dayavish. Nimsu shivim shana shleimim uvishnah shtayim uDayavish hiskil livnas habinyan ad shegamu. And then when they began to resume construction, the second year of Dayavish, they succeeded until they completed the construction, which we'll pick up with more of that Amir Tzashem tomorrow with Perik Hey.